Want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year, automatically, dollar for dollar, with no limit on how much you can earn. Extra cash? Come on, how amazing is that? In fact, it's even more amazing when you realize all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2020 Nielsen Report limitations apply.
The available AKG 36 speaker sound system in the Cadillac Escalade provides 360-degree sound, so you hear studio sound on the road. The 2021 Cadillac Escalade, never stop arriving.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Weekly Podcast for the week of May 14th. I'm your host, William Liu. I'm joined on the podcast by childhood friend Joshua Hart.
Josh. Hello, hello. Thank you, Will, for having me. It's so nice to talk to you about basketball. I hope you've had a good week. Mother's Day?
Mother's Day was great. What did you do for your mom?
We went out to my brother's house. He lives in the suburbs, so we spent the afternoon eating and watching the Cavs get steamrolled by the Boston Celtics. So my brother's wife's mom is somehow a huge LeBron hater. Oh. So she was losing her mind, and me and my dad and my brother are on the right side of history and love LeBron and looked at her like she had horns growing out of the side of her head, but had to keep it quiet. It was Mother's Day. How about you? What did you get up to?
I was working today. Today is Sunday, Mother's Day, so I went home yesterday, and we made dumplings, and my grandparents are actually going off to a cruise to, like, see Alaska and stuff from San Francisco. So,
yeah, I know that cruise.
That's a crazy cruise, man. Every time I think of old people on a cruise, I always, like, instinctively think of Titanic. Hopefully that doesn't happen to my grandparents. And, you know, if that does happen, I hope my grandma has some sort of, like, expensive necklace that falls to the bottom of the ocean. But, I mean, hopefully none of that happens. But anyway, it was a great Mother's Day. I got them some potted flowers and stuff. And hopefully
feel like that's a go-to gift. It's like, hey, Mom, I went to the garden center at Canadian Tire. Here's $25 worth of flowers that will be done to me.
I'll have you know, I went to both Home Depot and Lowe's to try to find the specific thing. Anyway.
Excellent.
Josh, you know, I have like a regular, like, you know, rotation of people that I usually generally call.
Yeah.
And, I mean, like, everybody was really depressed about the Raptors. So I have to really commend you, on A, not being too depressed to talk about the team, and also B, like, not, being too busy, but also, like, you know, We had very passionate conversations about what's been going on the last couple of weeks because, you know, a lot's been going on. And
it's been a crazy few weeks for Raptors. And I also appreciate being here. You know, you have real sports professionals. I am not working in this industry, but I love the Raptors. I love talking Raptors with you, so it's fun to go off. But, yeah, crazy week. It started with, you know, LeBron dispatching everyone on summer vacation and then ended with this sort of weird referendum on how terrible the Raptors were.
I can't believe this is all 1 week.
Yeah, everything's happened.
Yeah, game four was like Monday.
Monday.
Yeah.
And now we have to go back into work this Monday and think like, oh, well, if the Raptors lose by 20 to Cleveland and then lose by 25 to Boston.
Mm-hmm.
But it's maybe a rock beats scissors beats papers beats rock, because I think we work the Celtics. Like, we're a much better team than them, but they seem to really have figured out how to play the Cavs. I know it's one game, but the Cavs also completely demolish us. It's very confusing, and I'm hoping that you have some illumination, because I don't know what to think. Are the Raptors good? Was Dwayne Casey rightly fired? Should the Raptors try to go out and convince Tyronn Lue to come over here? What is going on, Will?
I mean, the Casey thing is a whole separate thing, but I think a friend of the podcast, Sirit Sohi, said it best when she said, this feels like the Raptors getting swept 5-0. Because, why? Like, the Raptors weren't even playing, and somehow we took a bigger L than the Cavaliers, than anyone else. Because, it's a really bad look that, Indiana succeeded against the Cavaliers. Now, the Celtics succeeded against the Cavaliers. And I guess there was some thought that, this might have just been a LeBron-only problem, that the Raptors were fine. But then when you see that LeBron is struggling against these other teams, and who knows what the rest of the series goes on.
Of course.
But, when you see this happen, you really can't help but wonder why the Raptors look so incompetent. I mean, in terms of just, the strict basketball stuff, the stuff Boston does really well is they have a really, versatile roster. They have so many of those wings. And then, they're really physical off the ball, right?
Absolutely. Marcus Smart is going to be a terror this year.
I just look at the Celtics guys and I'm like, that guy's a better defender than the Raptors. That guy's a better than defender on his counterpart. Rozier's a better defender than Lowry.
Yeah.
Tatum is infinitely better than DeMar, even though he's a rookie, just infinitely better. I would say OG and Jaylen Brown are about the same, so that one's okay. But Horford's way better than, Ibaka. Baines is better than JV. It's crazy. Up and down the roster, they're all better defensively. And they have also a lot of other options. Even Marcus Morris, he bragged about, hey man, I defend LeBron well. And he did it really well.
He did an incredible job today. Which was wild to see, because LeBron didn't seem like he was shook, but routinely he's pulling up from forever away and making a terrible shot. It was nuts to see the effectiveness of Boston's defense on LeBron. I was expecting JR and Kyle Korver and Kevin Love to maybe cool off, but LeBron to do what he did last year and try to get his. But he was settling for bad shots all game, and it was nuts to see.
Yeah. I think LeBron does do this. There's a history of LeBron taking game one off a little bit. And even against the Raptors, LeBron was not good in game one.
Yeah, you're right.
But he kind of used that. I mean, the Raptors kind of just choked that one away. If we didn't play so poorly in the fourth quarter, we'd probably get that one game, and who knows what happens. But game one against Indiana, LeBron got smacked as well. They last time won by 18. And so I think LeBron sort of takes his time and just looks at the series. He used to lose to the Bulls, always game one.
Always
we'll talk about the Bulls. I think it's just a little bit depressing because, you can't, again, as a Raptors fan, you can't really watch these playoffs without thinking about it in the context of, how do the Raptors perform in these scenarios? And even simple things, when the Cavaliers ran those, little split cuts where LeBron holds the ball on the post one side, and there's just a bunch of cutters cutting on the other side, Love cutting, Korver or whatever. And, the Raptors just struggle with it time after time after time, and the Cavs were just getting to get easy buckets. Whereas, none of that happened against the Celtics, and maybe it'll happen later in the series, but one team looks way more regimented than the other team.
Yeah, absolutely. And the Cavs didn't seem to get any sort of penetration on the Celtics defense, and that was a big difference from the Raptors series, because it seemed like, yes, you had their shooters lighting us up, but it seemed like whoever wanted to get to the rim could do it against the Raptors, and it was tough to see. It's nuts to see the Celtics play this role, because I don't like anyone on that roster.
It's really upsetting, man. It's just upsetting.
Because we beat those Celtics, and I would feel as though we'd be beating the Celtics. But you live with a hand you're dealt in life. But it's been today's, all the slander Raptors fans have been catching today and throughout the weeks, seeing Casey's firing after his big day has been rough, man. It has not been fun by any means. I think this is what it must feel like to be John Wall. Just anytime you open Twitter, people are clowning him. But
I'm so happy we beat the Wizards. I'm so happy that we at least beat the Wizards.
It seemed to be the only good thing that happened this postseason, is being able to beat the Wizards.
Yeah. That was Monday. The Raptors losing game four. Completely falling apart. DeMar has an awful series. Kyle, after he had a great game three to, nearly lead the comeback, Kyle has 4 points in the elimination game. And, like, everyone looks bad. You know, the next day they're cleaning out the lockers. You know, Damar is saying things like, you know, he doesn't know if he'll have another chance. This team will have another chance to, you know, make another run at LeBron, yeah. Which, you know, you can't help but think that, like, shit, man, they might actually stop believing in this team and kind of rebuild. And then, you know, it's a bit of a wild turn on Wednesday. You know, both Masai and Dwayne Casey coming to this podium. Dwayne Casey talking about talking about how he didn't really feel like his job was in danger, even though there's a report on Tuesday that his job was in danger. And then, you know, fast forward to Friday and then bam, Dwayne's gone. And like, it's like, all right, this team's really going to change. And, you know, you and I exchanged texts and we felt like it wasn't necessarily fair to Dwayne that he lost his job. I mean, like, what were your emotions when you found out that, you know, we let go of Dwayne?
I mean, I believed in the Pound the Rock era, like 7 years ago when Dwayne arrived.
Yeah.
I thought that it was really the beginning of something great. And I think it absolutely has come true. These have been the best years as a Toronto Raptors fan since the Vince era, and even brighter days than those. So it hit me sort of like, it was like, oh, this is rough, because he just had the coach of the year, and there was all, it seemed in that initial press conference that there was the chance that he'd be brought back, or that there would be a conversation about the way things had gone, and then sort of Dwayne's gone, he's fired. Woj break it was wild.
Mm.
I'm sure half of TSN is really salty that they weren't able to break that. It's nuts that it went to south of the border. That felt.
Yo, there was a time when Woj didn't have an in on the Raptors, but Woj is pretty close to the Raptors nowadays. Yeah. You know, like he's doing all those profiles about how you know the Raptors are here and. You know, Lowry and DeMar saying, this is the year. Our year is over. It's a useless year if we don't win the championship. And I'm like, Is it though? Are you being serious right now?
And that's going to be that LeBron post-traumatic Bron syndrome, because everybody does it. And I was texting you earlier that this feels like the 2015 Bulls when, you know, you had Tibbs, who was the second best coach in that franchise's history.
Right.
Lose to LeBron and, you know, it was actually three years ago on Mother's Day where LeBron hits that game winner on the Sunday after Derrick Rose in his last good moment as a member of the Chicago Bulls or the human race hit his game winner.
Yep.
But after that the Bulls were eliminated, it seemed as though that organization needed to do something, and firing Tibbs seemed like a real head scratcher when it happened. And I think, you know, 3 years later, it still doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't improved as a franchise. They didn't make the playoffs the year that he left, and they made it the next year and had that weird series against the Celtics last season. But yeah, I don't, firing Casey feels like not a mistake, but just I need answers. I need to see where we're going, because I don't want to be where the Chicago Bulls are 3 years from now, where they're this terrible team who've had three increasingly depressing seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's where I'm at. I'm sort of, all right, Masai, I trust you. You're
right.
The greatest GM in the city.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Because now you've done something that I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the plan here? How are you feeling?
I mean, I get it. And I think it's just really unfortunate, right? Like, especially with coaches in sports, like, this is a situation where it, like, having deserving does nothing to do with the situation. Like, it's not about whether you deserve to be fired or not. It's just about, it's purely about circumstance. And that's the tough thing about coaches, right? Like, you can't directly influence any of the results, but, you have to take responsibility for a lot of it. And it's just, it must be difficult. But, when you look at Dwayne's case, like, yes, he was a fantastic coach. He built a good culture here. You know, he kept a tight locker room. There wasn't a lot of drama over the years. And whether or not you feel like the talent was maximized or not, you can't necessarily argue with the regular season results. In the playoffs, they're a bit disappointing, but you can't even argue too much with the playoff results. Like, ultimately speaking, the Raptors lost in the years they were the worst team.
Yep.
You know, like that Brooklyn series should have been close, and it was close. That Wizards series should have been a bit closer, but the Raptors were much worse than the Wizards that year, and Lowry was banged up, and just a poorly constructed roster that year.
Yeah,
2016. Graves Vasquez. Yeah, I mean, come on. We were playing Graves Vasquez and Luans at the same time. They hated each other.
With a straight face.
Like, yeah, seriously. Like, and Chuck Hayes was in that rotation,
oh
and
my goodness.
Tyler Hansbrough was starting games. Like, it's not a surprise we got swept, right? 15-16, like, yeah, we won two series, and then, you know, beating Milwaukee and Washington. Like, you can't necessarily argue with that, but, like, at the same time, like, it's a matter of circumstance, and it's a lot easier
it's
to...
It's just until we met LeBron.
Yeah, exactly,
the last
right?
3 years, as soon as you see LeBron, it's over.
Well, yeah, I mean, but, like, I think even that, though, it's a little bit simplistic, right? Because, like, I think this is what the disappointing thing is with... seeing what Indiana did and seeing what Boston did. Cause like if LeBron just rolled through everybody like last year, then we're not as worried about it because it's like, okay, we're in the same boat as everyone else.
Yeah.
But when LeBron specifically rolls us and then has a tougher time with everyone else, you wonder why the Raptors weren't as prepared. You wonder why the Raptors had this sort of baggage. And you know, like that's a concern. And you know, part of that is on Casey. Like, there was a report out there after Dwayne's firing was announced where Grange wrote about how, you know, there was, you know, X, Y, and Z of why the Raptors, you know.
Keeping, Serge and JV in the end when they went small with Love and.
Yeah.
Masai pull his hair out.
Yeah, and like Masai apparently berated Casey and stuff. And it's just like, all right, well, that's the stuff you just never heard about before.
No,
and,
never.
You know. I don't know. I don't think Masai's feeling pressure, but I think what Masai said at the presser, you know, put it on me. Like,
yeah.
I believe him. And it's going to be on him now because, like, the pressure is – that's what sports is. It's really kind of silly, but, like, you just kick the ball down the line. And, like, the responsibility is fully on, you know, Masai here.
Masai. Because
the roster is what it is. And, it's like he said, it's easier to move the coach than it is to move the rest of it. And, you know, while I think the Raptors did a good job of, like, handling – Casey's like situation, like they let him go at a time when he can find another job again.
Yeah, there are tons of jobs out there.
Yeah,
where do you
right?
think even to go? If I know it's a sidebar, but
I feel like Orlando makes a lot of sense.
It makes sense. A lot of good relationships.
Yeah,
with that organization, young roster that's looking to sort of make this franchise a bit more relevant. Yeah, I agreed. I was just curious where you thought you'd go. Sorry, carry on.
Oh, no. I was just, the idea of, like, Dwayne Casey walking into the locker room and Terrence Ross staring back at him again, he's just like, oh, shit, I thought I got rid of you.
He's going to bring the rock and start saying, like, his pound the rock speech, and Terrence Ross is going to start mouthing it back to him because he's just been there so many times before.
Yeah.
That's going to be real terrible for Terrence Ross.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Orlando is, like, a definite situation for him. But, like, I think, you know, if there are other situations that – I don't think Orlando's going to be his number one choice. But I think, yeah, they're definitely going to find something.
Is it the Suns job? Because I would be happy for him to get the Suns job.
Sure, yeah. I mean, it'd be interesting. Him taking over for Jay Trano again.
Yeah.
History has a weird way of repeating itself, man.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the Suns are also just, like, a fickle organization. So I feel like they might, like, unfairly ax him or something like that, so –
yeah, that's a good point.
I hope Dwayne lands on his feet. He's such a quality man. I mean, like, the letter that he sent was very touching. You know, I think he was always a very positive and upbeat man. And I think he kind of kept perspective. I think if there's one fault of his was that maybe he didn't hold his stars as accountable, as, you know, maybe some people wanted him to. And that was a critique that Masai offered as well in that, you know, Grange piece. But I mean, at the same time, like, he gave a lot of people chances to grow, and I think a lot of players did grow under him. And yeah, I mean, what's your favorite Dwayne memory or Dwayne-ism?
Ooh, that's a good question. My favorite memory is when Pop said, you guys are going to the finals, no bullshit.
Mm.
Because that was one of the only times, and I actually wanted to talk to you about this, like, that was, I feel like, the real opening of Toronto's relevance window.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when the greatest coach in the league says to your coach, you guys are going to the finals.
No bullshit.
You're like, mm-hmm. Oh my god, somebody sees us.
Right.
And that was probably, like, that was one of the moments that I was like, Oh my god.
You're such a typical Toronto fan right now, man.
Yeah, no, of course. And, yeah, of course. I'm totally washed in this, but yeah, seeing anybody care about the Raptors, and I think that has a lot to do with all the work that Casey did when he arrived here. That was the best stuff. I'm just trying to think of other great, great moments with Casey.
I liked when Dwayne Casey yelled at Bud.
Oh,
which we can talk about Bud in a second, but like the fact that Dwayne Casey was willing to stand up for his young player OG for, you know, doing a dunk at the end of the game, whatever, man. The other team was contesting the shot and everything. So, like, what are you going to do? Not dunk the ball? You know, like, seeing Dwayne Casey, you know, rip into another guy, really just, like, the whole thing with Dwayne Casey is he had, like, a dad swag. And so you can't really be mad at your dad, right? And when he did dad things, like,
yell at the other team.
Take the subway to a playoff game, like, you know, wear his hat in a weird way where it, like, at least half of that has to be air and not head. Because he doesn't have, like, a Lorenzo Brown head where you're like, okay, that's all head under there. No, that's air. And then head, okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna miss Dwayne Casey.
Of course.
I don't know who Masai brings in that's going to be as lovable to the fans here, because there was something great about having an old black man be your head coach.
Yeah, and it's rare. It's rare to see that in the NBA, man.
Yeah, no, it's.
And it used to be a lot more common. I feel like nowadays it's like there's like Lenny Wilkins and like Silas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's just a couple of them, and now it's like Doc Rivers, kind of.
Kind of. And then they're talking about bringing in Budenholzer, and I hate that man.
It's just not a sexy hire to be like, hey.
You're pissed off about your coach getting swept twice by the Cavs? Let me tell you who we're bringing in.
This guy lost to the Wizards last.
Like... You know, Budenholzer's greatest career accomplishment is beating the Wizards after Paul Pierce called bank. They lost to the Wizards in that series.
No. They barely beat them, but that's only because John Wall, like, broke his hand.
That's right.
And then Paul Pierce hit that, like, game-winning shot, but it was, like, a .1 right after the shot clock, so it was invalidated.
Yo, that team was not great.
No, that team was not good. Like, that was the Raptors. Work? Like, if anyone wanted to critique this year's Raptors, like, winning 60 games in the regular season, being a number one seed, and then getting swept, it's the Atlanta Hawks. So, like, getting Mike Budenholzer of the Atlanta Hawks would be a little bit disappointing.
And that seems to be a lot of people's most... And Jerry Stackhouse. And that decision makes no sense to me.
You know what? Okay, what's wrong with Stack? I like Stack.
I like Stack too, and I really want him to be a coach one day because he's black and so am I, and I like Issa Rae, cheer for everybody black.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're firing a coach as a part of what seems to be an oncoming culture change or culture reset, how do you hire from within? What's Stack is going to be hard on players, and he's going to do a lot of the same things as Casey. Is he going to install a new system? I really doubt it.
Well, I mean, how much of a new system do they have to implement, though? I think, like, the offense is okay.
What are we changing? Like, someone who can make better in-game adjustments? Because...
Yeah, that's pretty much
it. But I think that's overrated, because Casey made adjustments in the Bucks series last year. His movements with Carroll and Norm Powell made sense and helped us win that series.
Mm-hmm.
I strongly believe in the Pacers series in 2016, I think Dwayne Casey coached quite well in a series that was definitely not guaranteed for the Raptors.
Right, of course. We barely won that series.
Yeah, I mean, I know we won in six games, but Dwayne Casey performed well. I think he out-coached Eric Spoelstra in the Heat series because...
Really?
Because the Heat came out and, like... adjusted really well. I think after the Raptors may have lost game one, as they always do, and then rallied back in game two and won that one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think from that point on, like, because JV went down in that series and missed some time, and Hassan Whiteside missed time in that series. Like, I think Dwayne Casey has real playoff series wins that are a result of his coaching adjustments. So to think that he's this bumbling idiot when it comes to the playoffs is not representative of the entire, you know,
yeah,
picture.
I think it's unfair. Like, even this year, right, when they talked about how, like, oh, man, CJ Miles got torched in that Game 2 thing against Love. And I'm like, I can see his thinking there. Obviously, it wasn't his plan A or plan B, but, like, mm-hmm. you know, when Serge Ibaka comes in here and, like, lays a huge shit on the floor and, like, what's up with Serge Ibaka's hands? Why can't he dribble the basketball?
I don't know.
It's so perplexing, man.
And the read on Serge Ibaka was always that, you know, we need to look forward to having this guy in May and April.
Yeah.
He's been on these long playoff runs. He knows when to show up, but no, he's been real disappointed. Dude.
I know, he even teased us too, because games 1 and 2 of the Wizards series, I was like, yeah, that's playoff surge right there. And then, bam, the man had like a bunch of 0 points. Like I don't know, man. It was depressing to watch Serge Ibaka. But I mean, like, yeah, that's, you know, I think that's the other thing that, again, it's part of why this thing is unfair. It's like, Casey's not perfect, and I think it's totally within Masai's right to look to upgrade if he thinks that it can. It's just imperative that he does upgrade, because Dwayne Casey was bringing a lot to the table. But if he can find an upgrade there, for sure. But at the same time, like, the why I feel like it's a bit unfair was because, like, look, the players just... it is what it is with the players, right? Like, we kind of know. We've seen the ceiling. Like, this is the year where, like, definitively the ceiling was shown to us. Like, we kind of knew what the ceiling was, but then we were like, nah, we're going to play bet. We're going to play different. Put these young guys around. Play fast, slow, whatever. And then all of a sudden, it's like, nah, none of it changed, bro. None of it changed. The Cavs even got worse, and it doesn't matter. Like, you still got swept.
And they still – and so, yes. So, in the last 3 years, we've had 2 sweeps and 1 – entertaining but never competitive series against
the Cavs.
We lost
them by 93 points. Exactly. In 6 games, when 2 of them we won.
Yeah. And that was, like, I remember watching that series and thinking, like, this is a lot of fun. We're not winning this series.
Yeah.
So, is it just personnel? Because, you know, my dad, and to some of you
may
be familiar, if any of you guys listen to The Fan, my father is Clifton from Etobicoke, so shout out Dad. He was saying that the big problem that we have with what's going on with this Raptors team is that no matter who was coaching, if the Cavs-Raptors switched coaches, series sweep all 3 times, it doesn't matter because the other team has the greatest player on the planet.
Yeah.
And that's it. And I don't like that answer because it feels sort of futile, but we've seen the Raptors improve their roster considerably from the 2015 series or 2016 series.
Mm-hmm.
I think today we have a much better roster. We play a better style. We have more talent on the team, and we still get, like, completely washed by this guy.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's a disappointing thing. I think this is just kind of another move, right? Like, they're like, all right, well, we'll try to tweak it just again. But, like, I think it would be disappointing if at the end of the summer we come back with the same roster and, like, who knows, we might make a minor move and, like, we retain Fred VanVleet and maybe we shed another salary or whatever.
Norm Powell, please.
I mean, we'll see. But, I mean, like, yeah, I mean, that would be a bit disappointing, right? Because I'm like, I've seen the ceiling of this team and, like, it doesn't matter who you bring in to coach. Like, Kyle Lowry is still going to be Kyle Lowry. Like, he can, like, this year was his best playoff run.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I wasn't even that impressed. I was like, okay, cool. Your efficiency was good, but that's only because you only took like 10 shots a game and you like kept deferring to DeMar, even in games when DeMar was struggling. Yeah. And then DeMar, like, he was good in the Wizards series, but then, like, just awful. Like, just.
Which is weird because there is no one on the Cavs who can, you know, stop that guy.
That's what's supposed to happen, but, like, he couldn't score on J.R. Smith?
I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. DeMar against the Cavs has never made any sense to me because it seems like that's the kind of team that he'd be able to really do damage on because LeBron never tries to defend him.
Yeah, and the craziest thing is, like, DeMar gets covered in single coverage, and usually when DeMar gets single coverage, the man scores, but, like, against the Cavs, he kind of, like, loses his mind a little bit. Like, he only wants to drive to the rim, so it's like he makes it really easy for the defense to, like, you know, collapse on him.
Yep.
He's not taking any jumpers, which is just weird. Like, you need that jumper to establish your drive game.
Which is weird, because it seems like every season when our season ends against the Cavs, because LeBron, or because DeMar isn't taking, using his jump shot, mm-hmm. he goes all summer and works on it. And yeah. then from November until March, you're like, wow, DeMar can hit 2 threes a game. Mm-hmm. We're championship. And then as soon as he sees LeBron, he's like, all right, you know, only 14 to 18 feet is it. And that, it's so frustrating because, you know, I'm the kind of person who thinks that DeMar can be the guy. I'm mm-hmm. not sure he's so good that it's automatic, that if he's your best player, you can contend for a championship, but I like him enough to give him a shot.
Right.
Like Victor, like Oladipo, he's probably not good enough, but you like him enough to, like, yeah, let's build a team around him because mm-hmm. his game's good and he's friendly and he has a, you know, big, beautiful head and he can sing really well.
Also, like, what else are you going to do, right? Like, you're Indiana. Yeah. You have this one guy. You might as well go. And that's what happened with the Raptors. Like, he was like, we have one guy in DeMar. He's not really a star. And then it was like, okay, we'll give him some time to develop. And then all of a sudden he does become a star. And, like, I agree with you. I think DeMar has, like, there's definitely a difference when DeMar is, like, active and he's, like, aggressive and he's on. And he's, like, a phenomenal player, a really mm-hmm. phenomenal offensive player. Mm-hmm. But then, like, that just doesn't turn on in the playoffs. Like, we never really seen, like, oh, man, DeMar went off three games in a row. He did kind of in Washington.
Bucks series in 2017. Mm-hmm. In the Bucks series, every game after game four.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
Because in game three, when was the game where Giannis is like, he scored 3 points and they're all free throws or whatever that.
Oh, that was game three. The Raptors lost that one by like 27 or something.
After game three, he took that series over, in my opinion.
Yeah. No, I think he responded with like 30-something points, 37.
And in game six, when the Bucks went on that huge run and brought, and, you know, everyone in the,
oh my God.
In Canada was pulling their hair out, DeMar came out and closed the door and he was the one who, punched our ticket to the next round before we got curb stomped by the Cavs. But yeah, mm-hmm. DeMar can do it in the playoffs. He may not be able to do it in the Eastern Conference Finals mm-hmm. or against the Cavs, but he's not a shook one all the time. He's not
a shook one some of the time. I just think that, like, with DeMar, the issue with DeMar is that, like, they keep trying to compensate for all the stars' weaknesses. Which, like, that's not what you're supposed to do, right? Like, with the star, you're supposed to build around his strengths, and he's supposed to be the foundation of what you do. And so mm-hmm. he cannot come up short. And, like, what the Raptors try to do is, like, all right, so we need to have a defensive three and a defensive four and a defensive five so they can make up for one guy who doesn't defend. And then on offense, this guy can't shoot. So it's like, all right, so then we have to put all these shooters around him. And, like, he needs the ball all the time. So then he has to play on the ball, and then Kyle Lowry is about the ball. Everyone else has to just chill and exist without the ball. And it's just like, at some point, you're like, I'm making so many concessions to make one thing happen. And, like, you're never going to make the bigger thing happen.
It works in Houston.
It works in Houston because, like, James Harden is just better than DeMar. Okay.
He's that much better that he makes.
Yeah.
Because I think James Harden is a complete, like, revelation this year.
Last year he was crazy
good. But, yeah, that team is full of a bunch of big guys who can kind of defend well and can kind of shoot threes, and Eric Gordon, and they're just incredible to watch.
Eric Gordon's a hilarious player.
Yeah, it's amazing that that guy was great and then terrible and then really good again. He's really, you never know when to quit.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. Do you feel like this roster, like, how far, okay, do you feel like even with a better coach, like, let's say whoever they hire is, like, the best case scenario happens, right? Like, it's like a, I don't know what they're doing really, but, like, the best case scenario happens and, you know, the Raptors keep the young guys develop a little bit more. Like, how much better can they do in the playoffs? Like, what, next year if they lose to LeBron in six games, is that improvement? Is that, like, everyone feeling happy about themselves? Like, hey man, our fourth time, we beat LeBron twice.
Yeah, I don't know.
Right?
I don't know. I think that the challenge has been I wonder what, you know, your fans and the people who are part of this fandom, because you engage with them more, is the challenge to really make the finals or to be a true championship contending team, or is it the challenge to be a team that's really relevant? Like, relevant in the important way that they are, you know, top three topics on sport on ESPN First Take in the morning, because to me, the Raptors as a contending team has been there the last 2 or 3 years.
Right.
They've been a team that finishes top six, top seven overall records, has multiple All-Stars, has a decent-ish playoff run year over year. They're like a basketball team that achieves the things that the basketball organization is supposed to. The problem seems to be that nobody, they're not sort of famous, and they're not, they don't have the guys, or they don't have the success that will make them a team that everybody cares about. And I'm not sure how much I want that, but that seems to be the thing that Masai wants, or that the organization wants to sort of break through to that next level of cultural cachet, that they are an important franchise in this league. And
yeah, I mean, I think that, like,
we play good basketball. We have, like, we have good records.
We're likable.
We're likable, but I think people are missing that, you know.
Yeah, I think the disconnect there, and it's really hard to be a full-fledged fan of this team while also accepting this disconnect, is that it doesn't feel legitimate. And I think maybe that's just a bigger feeling of, like, how people in Toronto generally feel about being citizens of the world and being right next to the United States and whatever. And I think that blends into this mindset as Raptors fans, especially since there's so many reminders that, like, Toronto is still a second-rate basketball market, no matter how much the Raptors organization tries to improve the situation and the fans, you know, improve everything. Like, everything is top-notch at this point, but, like, it's still the same, right? Like, people don't see Toronto as legitimate. They see them as a joke. And, like, if you – and it's just unfortunate, right? Because, like, if the Raptors make the same mistake as another team, they get clowned for it infinitely more, because there's something inherently funny about this team being in Canada, and people like to get off their USA jokes or, like, you know, whatever. And I think that's what a lot of the organization is battling, like, legitimacy. And so when the Raptors, like, fail in this way, it really, really makes us feel exposed. And it's hard for us to both rectify that, hey, this is just our team and we can just accept it and cheer for it and support it and get hyped for it when it matters, and, you know, love it even when it's down. But I mean, still, like, you can't shake this feeling of, like, man, like, why are the Raptors not a legitimate franchise? Because, like, they've had a lot of moments where it's just like, damn, like, they've been exposed.
But it feels like that answers my question, because yes, like, the big challenge is becoming a team that wins or really competes for a championship. Like, as a team that makes the finals is, and wins the championship, are the last things to do. But, you know, how many like, the Bulls have tried it, the Pacers have tried, Clippers have tried, the Rockets haven't done it yet. It's like, in the last decade, only one team has broken through into that sort of group of those, you know, five or six real NBA franchises, and that's the Warriors. But it's really, like, every year, it's like, where LeBron's playing, the Knicks, the Lakers, and these gigantic franchises. And yes, the Raptors can't break into that, but we have an incredible basketball product in this city. Like, you and I have paid attention our whole lives, that, you know, unless the Raptors make the leap to winning a championship, we're not going to accomplish the legitimacy thing. So why lose sleep over it? Because I love this team, and I think it's, you know, it would have been fine with me to run it back the same way. You win 60 games and you win a playoff series, it's kind of as good as it gets for every team except for two teams every year.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. No. And, like, I don't know, it's just, for some reason,
like,
it's
Sean
hard. I know, man. And Woodley's right about a lot of this stuff. Like, he's like, hey, man, like, what are you really upset about? Like, don't be such a big baby about this and that. And, like, yeah, it just feels strange. Like, you can be an abject fan of just the Raptors, or both the Raptors, like, just of the Raptors independently, or about the Raptors within NBA scope. And if you're a fan of the Raptors within the NBA scope, then you're almost always going to be unsatisfied because people Absolutely. Are always going to be shitting on you. Always. No matter always. What happens, they're going to be shitting on you. Like even this game, the Cavs get completely destroyed. It's very embarrassing for the Cavs, but all of a sudden the conversation is, look, oh man, the Raptors were really terrible. And it's just like, what? We didn't even play. What? Who's talking about us? Why? Right? And like, but even as a Raptors fan, and especially like, you know, because I write about like the NBA as a whole, like it's hard for me not to like think about the Raptors within the context of the NBA. Like it's super depressing. I don't know what it is, man. Like, yeah. So.
I don't know. I think about this all the time that, and I wonder if you have the same thought about Masai specifically. Mm. Last summer, he, in so many words and ways, turned down the New York Knicks. He could did. Have been the GM of the, at worst, third biggest NBA franchise. And really had not his opportunity to steer that and to leave a legacy there. It's a tricky situation and a crap owner and all of those other things. But he turned that down because he wanted to accomplish something in Toronto, and it seems as though what he wants to accomplish feels petty because it's not just to win and make a great basketball product. Mm-hmm. It's to be the guy who put Toronto on the map in sort of a significant,
yeah.
real way. And I'm not sure how important something like that is because the reason that the Lakers and the Knicks and the Sixers and the Celtics Mm-hmm. are the biggest teams in the league is because they're in the biggest media markets, and you may never like break into that.
Yeah.
And the reason, and like the Golden State Warriors have broken into that like echelon of league popularity and relevance, not just because they've won two championships and have two of this decade's three best players on their team. Mm-hmm. It's also that, you know, the Silicon Valley and by extension San Francisco and Oakland have become a new real hotspot for everything that's happening in America. It's where there are the most new billion-dollar companies. It's this very important part of the American cultural and media landscape. Mm-hmm. So, of course, their basketball team is the most important, one of the most important ones to pay attention to. So unless Toronto is going to become this huge, important cosmopolitan city, even if our basketball team is championship contending, no one's going to give a shit about us because
yeah.
we're not this huge media market. We're not this huge industrial market. We're just a moderately sized city in this huge multi-billion-dollar league. So I don't know.
Yeah,
Masai seems to really want to like make the Toronto Raptors as big as the New York Knicks. But that seems like a fool's errand. What do you think?
I mean, I think he's already done a great job of making the Raptors as big as it can be in Canada.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is like, look, let's be honest, man. Like, a sport like basketball is not going to have that much popularity within a lot of parts of Canada because
yep.
Toronto is a very special place within Canada. I think.
Absolutely.
You know, like, even when I read Dwayne Casey's letter, I was like, it's very sweet that you wrote this about Toronto. And I definitely see where you're coming from in terms of complimenting it, and it definitely has a lot of virtues, but like, but to apply that to the rest of Canada is just not really the case.
Yeah.
And so I think whatever, like he's already done a great job of like Raptors, you know, marketing, everything like that. Like you see Raptors gear everywhere. You see people excited about the Raptors. This is phenomenal. And in terms of him just bringing the franchise from the dead and getting it to this operational capacity is already like a phenomenal job. It's yeah. just like the next step of like getting to the relevance thing is just so hard because like it's so embedded, I think, in Toronto like citizenship that like you need to be jaded like Drake basically. Like Drake is very Toronto, not for the other stuff. It's just because he's whiny and because he doesn't feel like he's enough, and it's clear that he's achieved so much and yeah. like it's kind of self-evident, but like because people don't give him the respect that, you know, he feels like he constantly feels like he's disrespected. You know, and I think the Raptors are in the same way, man. Like, look how we treat the American media and stuff. We're always like, why don't you talk about us? Talk about us. Like, oh man, this is the bias here, like this and that, like the referee bias, everything that is like, everything centers back to this one, like, you know,
we want feeling to be of not enough. Like the Lakers.
Yeah. Like this illegitimacy. Like, hey, we earned it to get to this point. It's just like, look, realistically, you're never going to get to this point. I'm sorry. You're not in America.
Yeah. And it has not, so much of it has to do with things outside of the product that's on the court, because the product on the court is incredible. That if the New York Knicks had a product as good as the Toronto Raptors, they would be receiving the most favorable press in the world.
People would be freaking out, man. Look at the Celtics. The Celtics are, like, in this current iteration, not that much better than the Raptors, or if at all. But they get this endless hype. And I'm not saying it's undeserved. It's just, like,
they're not better than the Raptors.
Yeah.
And they get it because they're in Boston. They're a part of this, you know, huge media industrial complex. And that's fine, but don't, you know, put all this, like, these expectations on Dwayne Casey without thinking about this first, because he is not going to somehow make Fox Sports run their operation out of the same city that our team plays in. That's not how it works.
Yeah.
As much as Zach Lowe has a Canadian wife and loves hanging out in Toronto, that isn't enough to make Toronto a media magnet for the brands that these athletes work with, and that the media industrial complex that works with the league closely, it's not going to bring them to Toronto. So give it up. Like, appreciate what we have, because what we have is amongst the very best that the league has to offer. We have had one of the best, you know, 5-year runs of any team in the league in the last 20 years. And that's the point. The point is to have a great product and to have a lot of fun, and to scream fuck Brooklyn every time you get the opportunity to.
Listen, you just gave the same speech that Masai gave, basically. And I like that, though. I like that. Like, that's the exact kind of, like, perspective and awareness that you need to have if you're leading this team, because you are not just leading a basketball team. You're leading a weird, fragile psyche of a city. And, like, I don't know. It's kind of unfortunate the Raptors have to carry this for us, but... You know, one day when Giannis comes here, you know, we can
I cannot wait.
These demons. We're going to take a quick break, and on the other end, we will take some Twitter questions.
I'm Brian Goldfinger of Goldfinger Injury Lawyers. Is your insurance company forcing you to go back to work when your doctors say you can't? If this sounds familiar, look no further than my law firm. Visit goldfingerlaw.com and get us working for you.
Welcome back to the second half of the podcast. Still here with Josh Hart.
Howdy.
On Twitter, at not Josh Hart.
That's me.
Were you really disappointed when the Raptors passed up on Villanova for Josh Hart in the draft?
Yeah. Yes. What a dream come true to have a person with your name play, like, so have a person with your name play on the team that you cheer for. And
like when Lou Williams play on the team?
Well, that must have been fun for you. And I have a godfather whose name is Norman Powell.
okay.
So when Norman Powell, when he, like, dunked in game five of the Pacers series, when they came back and had to win, basically, that was the kind of shit I lived for. And now Norm Powell is...
Yeah, let's not talk about this name, because, whew... your godfather might be better at basketball than Norm Powell at this point.
I strongly believe that.
Did I show you my Lou Williams? You know how Drake made Six Man and talked about Lou Williams and stuff?
Yeah.
Did I ever show you how I remixed that song to put my name in it?
No, but I can already picture it.
Okay, I'm gonna play it on the podcast live. Hopefully this is not breaking any, copyright laws. I would argue this is free use, alright? This is free use. Alright. Let me just put the search engine here. All right. Jeez, this shit is going off the rails.
You should have changed it to Boomin' Out of John G, but that's not...
No. Come on. Don't love me with the John G kids. I was in Hilltop.
Well, yeah, you can go to John G. It's a Hilltop.
Yeah, that's right. All right. Let's take some Twitter questions. As always, hit us up at Raptors Republic. Ah, man. First couple questions about Norman Powell, so that's not good.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Okay, so the first one comes from Raptors Milgrau. Shout out to the Brazilian Raptors fans out there. What about a Powell for a mid or late first to keep Van Vliet? Would you take a mid to late first for Norman Powell right now?
You know, I would take a free GoDaddy domain for a year for Norman Powell.
Yo, Norm Powell saw more time on, like, commercials than he did on actually on the court, man.
I couldn't, like, I like Norm Powell. I think he, in those playoff appearances, showed so much excitement and potential and grit. But Mance doesn't realize that when he's playing with DeMar DeRozan, he's not going to hold the basketball.
Yeah, he loves, you know what the thing with Norm is? Norm gets the ball, like, off the bench, and he's like, all right, I got the ball. I'm going to back up to, like, the logo. And I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you backing up? Your handle's not good. You get stripped all the time.
Oh, man.
Norm, bro, you should be better than this, man. Like, Norm, I think Norm was just groomed for the wrong role, man. Like, he needed to continue on that, like, Otto Porter path. And instead, he's like, oh, I see what DeMar is doing. I'm going to go over here and train like DeMar. I'm like, there's only room for one DeMar on the team. And even with DeMar, if you read in between the lines, the Raptors are always trying to be like, hey, DeMar, do this. Don't be yourself. Do this. Do this.
Be Chris Middleton. Or at least positive press coverage of Chris Middleton and feel bad about yourself.
Chris Middleton and his fucking Horn of Africa hairline.
I hate that guy.
God damn, man. Next one from Sham. What are honest and realistic expectations for this team next year, assuming the same core with trimmings around the margins and a new coach?
I don't know, 55 wins. I think the Sixers are good next year.
Yeah. So we can't just take 3 free wins out of the Sixers like we used to.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think really anybody else gets better. Miami's probably worse. Orlando's going to still be trash. The Western Conference will be, so long as the Raptors don't have to go on a 3-week road trip 2 weeks in the season on the West Coast like they do every year.
That's some bullshit.
We'll be a 50-plus win team. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. Like, I think it's going to be, like, 55 wins. And I don't know. They lose LeBron in the playoffs. Like, like what do you – I mean, the ceiling is the ceiling. The ceiling is the roof, all right?
The ceiling is the roof.
The ceiling is LeBron. That's it.
Or, like, we win 51 games and lose in a 4-5 against the Cavs.
Mm.
Yeah, no fun.
Okay, next one from Karn Sharma. How can I, big Raptors fan, move on from all of this? Please help. So, I would never.
Arzo's season is right around
okay,
the corner.
Josh, what are you doing here? I struck that from the record, all right? No, look, listen. Toronto is very beautiful in the summertime.
Word.
Don't focus on this. Like, the first time you climb up to the Scarborough Bluffs, you look over, you're like, damn, I can't believe this is part of Toronto. I can't believe this is part of Scarborough in particular. And then you'll forget all about the Raptors. Take a trip, you know, like.
That's true. That's a good point.
Go to Hyde Park, you know.
Take a bike ride down the, Evergreen Brickworks.
Sure.
And think, this is so beautiful. It's terrible. It's too bad that I have to watch CJ Miles brick threes in 9 months here.
And play no defense. But be very likable.
He's so likable.
I hate that man. He's like, I don't hate that man. Sorry, I just hate the like the idea that like he's so likable, but I'm like, I know you're not that good. Like,
it just
bothers me.
Also, enjoy the cinema scene. Enjoy it for Patrick Patterson.
TIFF.
Go to TIFF. Check out TIFF. Enjoy movies and pretend to be Patrick Patterson.
Yeah. Also, like sit on a patio. Toronto's a very beautiful city. The people are very beautiful.
Provincial election right around the corner. Start thinking about,
Yep, that too.
Volunteering at your local candidate's office.
Yes, exactly.
Go to the phones. Give you lots of stuff to think about.
Yeah. Shout out to Etobicoke.
That's good advice. Shout out to Etobicoke North.
Yeah. That's right. Who's running there?
I don't know. I live in the annex now, and I have to find out how to vote.
Is it Boris Yuzhnitsky again? God, that guy's name was hard to pronounce.
Yeah, let's look at that. Who's in the topical word one? This is what
he moved his office? Damn, his office used to be at La Rose Plaza, but now he moved it to the West Mall, eh? Okay. Boris Yuzhnitsky, alright. Yeah, he's an MP, I guess he's our guy. Etobicoke Center. I'm Etobicoke Center, I guess I'm not Etobicoke North.
Yeah, I'm Etobicoke North. Let me see my MP. My MP, Chris, no, that's MPP. You're confusing me, Will. Dr. Shafiq Quadri, his riding office is at Albany and Islington, so right around the corner from Bicycle Depot. Shout out to Rick and Rob.
Albany and Islington.
These are some deep Etobicoke cuts.
Yo. Oh, shout out to Thistletown.
Yo, do you remember when TCI and West Humber combined their football teams because they were both too broke to have an individual football team?
Jeez. I just remember, I never played football, but I did play Ultimate Frisbee up here on one of these teams. It was like a very brown school. And someone got hit in the face. I think it was Thistletown, but like, yeah, someone got hit in the face with a disc, like right in the face, and like she fainted. And like they had to call the ambulance for our Ultimate Frisbee game, and I was like, what are we all doing here? Like, it's not that serious. So, I mean, look, there's a lot of, Karn, listen, there's a lot of ways you can move on from this, but specifically and chiefly, you have to not follow the Raptors for at least 3 months and enjoy the weather, and then when training camp comes back, let yourself love again. But, you know, keep in the back of your mind that the ceiling is the roof. Man, okay. I'm just gonna skip a couple of these because they're tough.
They're all like, you know, Wiggins for Fred and DeMar. Who says no? Me, I don't want Wiggins yet.
Nah, I've slowly talked myself into Wiggins.
You talked yourself into Wiggins?
Yeah.
For what, man?
Wiggins is motivated. Wiggins' biggest motivation is his biggest issue is motivation. This comes to Toronto, you know. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's tough. Wiggins coming off a terrible year.
At the big mall in Woodbridge? Vaughn Mills?
Yeah.
He'll have
Where's he from? He's from Vaughn, right?
He's from, Woodbridge, I believe.
Jeez.
No, I don't know.
When's Toronto going to get a player, like, specifically from Toronto? Like, let's be real. The most Toronto player from Toronto has still been Leo Rowndes.
No, it's Tyler Innes.
Tyler's from Brampton, though. He's from Brampton.
No, he's from Rexdale originally, because we went to the same summer camp, and he called me chicken-chested. Shout out to that guy, though.
Imagine being slandered by Tyler Ennis, man.
Before any of this.
Tyler Ennis. He's terrible. He's a terrible basketball player. Probably before Norm over him. What about this one from Imran? Why does Ibaka practice fumbling the ball as his free throw routine? I don't know, but it's a weird one. Like, he takes forever. Like, you know that, like, there's like that rule, like, you need to shoot the free throw after 10 seconds of getting the ball from the ref? Ibaka breaks that rule every time, and I'm, like, pissed. Because I'm like, yo, listen, I need to do other things with my life other than watching you fumble the basketball.
Yeah, this whole Ibaka thing, because I was so hyped when he got traded to the Raptors.
Me too.
And I'm not so sure anymore.
Yeah, I think he just wants to play center, and that's not possible with JV around.
And JV's not going anywhere because...
Nah, I feel like this is a year they trade JV. His value's pretty high right now. Or not pretty high, but it's inflated.
Yeah, I'd be on board.
Yeah, which would be tough, though, because then when we lose JV, then it's also weakness, because then we can't rebound the ball at all.
Sure.
Yeah.
Who cares, I think.
This one from Leo. Looking at the Celtics win, the biggest difference I see is that most of the Celtics are two-way players, unlike the Raptors having offense first, like DeMar, JV, CJ, and then defense first with OG, Siakam, Ibaka. Do we have enough two-way players moving forward? And is it realistic for the older guys to become plus defenders? I don't think it's realistic for the older guys to become plus defenders. Like, I think they just, like, are what they are. They, honestly, DeMar, like, I think DeMar learned how to play defense under Jay Triano and learned how to play offense under Dwayne Casey, which is just damning. You want probably the other way around a little bit, but I don't think DeMar's going to be a better defender. CJ's definitely not going to be good. JV's not going to do much. Like, it is what it is. And so, like, you're always going to have to constantly put those defense guys around them. And I don't know. I have a bigger hope of the defense guys learning to play offense than the offense guys starting to play defense.
Yeah, and hopefully that Jakob doesn't get called for a foul every time he tries to engage in the post. So
yeah, he was a big part of this team, and then all of a sudden he just couldn't play in the playoffs at all. Like, that was a huge drop off for anybody I've seen.
Rough.
Also,
two-way players are overrated. How you want to go forward and need two-way players? Use your head, my guy.
Yeah. Oh, God, what is this, man? Who would you rather have, Kawhi or DeMarcus? What? What?
What? Are you asking me, would I rather have a former Finals MVP or a guy who wore a Nazem Kadri jersey once?
Hey, man, he's coming to Toronto because of that, okay? We wandered in the forests of Muskoka. Yeah, what prompted DeMarcus Cousins to get a Nazem Kadri jersey? But, yeah, I mean, obviously quiet, and he said DeMarcus is going to offer some fearlessness. Bro, DeMarcus has, like, a torn Achilles. Like, I don't want him right now. Like, I got to see him healthy first. That's a big risk.
Yeah, no, that's a very easy choice.
Mm-hmm.
What does Cousins do on this team?
I don't know, really. Because he's not going to come in and be the number one guy.
No, he couldn't.
So, yeah. Okay, this one from Jerry. We will have to wait and see whether a coach can get more of the stars than what they have shown themselves over and over to be. Why is this season a failure? Was it not the first year of a three-year transition that far exceeded expectations at the beginning of the year? And I think he makes a good point there, because I don't think anyone expected the Raptors to win 59 games in the number one seed. And I think they kind of fell victim to their own expectations a little bit because they were ahead of schedule. What do you think about that?
You know, that's a great point. I forgot about it being a three-year transition, and it's very apparent that at the end of 2020, we'll be able to get rid of Serge, Kyle, and DeMar, right? All three of those contracts come off the books, or three of the four contracts come off the books. The Raptors have had an excellent season that ended in a familiar way, and that's frustrating, but...
Yeah. Well, I think that's the part, right?
Remarkable. Like, we could have been on a... You've done the math, like a 21-game winning streak or something?
It was at least 17.
Yeah. We beat the Rockets, who are an incredible team, and we had, like, great games against the Warriors, beat the Cavs by 30 on TNT. I remember even at the beginning of this huge run the Raptors have been on, that when they would play on national broadcast, that they would get demolished by the Bulls. This has been a great year. Jerry, you're right.
Yeah. But I think the difference, the reason it feels disappointing is that even though they exceeded expectations, it's like better than anything we could have imagined. And then the end result still felt the same and was practically the same. And so it's disappointing because you just feel kind of helpless, which I completely get. Let's take two more. Right. One, Elvis. Man, what is this? What do you think of the BS pod trade ideas of DeMar DeRozan for Ingram and Dang, and then Lowry for Fultz and Covington? What the hell are we doing with this team?
Why do you guys let Simmons make up trades for you?
Why are we taking on Dang?
Suburban father of two who has an internet connection and is friends with David Chang.
Yo, shout out David Chang.
Shout out to David Chang.
Yeah.
I don't...
Repping for all Asians.
Who cares?
Yeah, I mean, no, seriously, what are these trades, though? This is bad. Like, I like Ingram, but I'm like, Ingram and Dang, what the hell is that? And then Fultz and Covington for Lowry? Like, what? First off, like, I don't want the train that is Markel Fultz. I mean, like, whatever, maybe he comes better or not, but like...
Maybe he gets good, but I don't know.
Yo, listen, if he can't play in the playoffs at all, that's an issue. He's healthy, he doesn't play in the playoffs at all. And then Robert Covington, what do I want Robert Covington for? Like, what am I doing with Covington? Flipping him for I don't want Robert Covington, man. No.
You can have three backup point guards.
Yo, seriously, what is this, man? Ah, God.
Why do people still excited about Ingram?
You can reasonably talk yourself into him being Kevin Durant. He's clearly not going to be Kevin Durant, but people...
Sure.
He has skills. I like Ingram, but he literally he has to not be like 6 pounds. Like, this is ridiculous, man. What are you trying to do? Like, what are you maintaining this like thin frame for? Like, are you trying to like get between walls? Like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing in life that you gotta be that skinny, man? Like, he's just too skinny. I'm sorry. Like, he's smaller than Bruno.
How is Bruno doing? Has anybody just like received letter, Snapchat? If you're like a, I don't know, 20-year-old girl from Burlington, can you let us know how Bruno's living?
Bruno, what are you saying? Sacramento proud. Okay, yeah. I'm going to look at Bruno's Instagram. Wow, look, there's a picture of Bruno on the bench, and he's... What kind of picture is this, man? I'm gonna send you this link in the Skype chat, but Bruno is, like, cut off in the first picture, and it's a picture of Garrett Temple, Iman Shumpert, and Frank... something the third. It was that picture in the Skype chat. I mean, that's just not a photo to share of yourself, man. There's like half of him in that photo. Who is
my goodness.
Guard? Frank Mason, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Why did you post this?
It's awful. Like, I think in the next photo, yeah, there's a picture of him with like some kids and another picture of him in the back. I don't feel like anyone in Sacramento has talked to him.
I feel bad for that team.
Mm.
It's just not fun.
It's purposeless.
Yeah. But it's not even like a fun purposelessness, kind of like the Suns or Denver every year. They almost make the playoffs and lose in the last week. It just seems grim.
It is quite grim. All right, Josh.
With another question, are we good?
Nah, I'm done. I'm tired.
You're done?
I'm going to sleep.
All right.
Josh.
Will.
This is a phenomenal debut appearance. Most people struggle in their debut, but you killed it. You brought a love. You brought the Raptors fan existentialism to the forefront, like Alex Wong in The New Yorker.
That's what they call me.
They call you that, yeah. I mean,
yeah, they call me the Black Alex Wong.
That's a good title. That's a good title.
I
to
hope
hold.
To live up to it. That guy's really incredible stuff.
I love
that's
Alex,
incredible
man.
Stuff.
He's the best.
Yeah, he is great. Will, thank you for having me.
Josh,
it's always a delight to talk Raptors with you. We've been doing it since we were teenagers, and we'll do it for years to come. You know,
yep.
I've waited my whole life to see the Raptors play championship basketball. It didn't happen this year, but it's going to happen one day.
When we get Giannis, man, we're getting Giannis. We're going to first, like, draft his younger brother, then hold him in the D League and not play him until Giannis comes here, and then we'll make him a starter. It'll be like the Chris Smith thing with J.R. Smith, except this is not J.R. Smith. This is an actually an all-world player.
I can't wait. And Giannis has got to be so frustrated with that organization.
Yeah, he has to be. And you know he wants to be loyal, but, like, nah. It's over.
Nah, man.
Come home. Come home.
He's got to.
Come
he's
on,
got
man.
He can bring the bell. You know the one I'm talking about. He can bring the bell.
You can bring the bell, man. Do it. Do what you need with that bell. Come to Toronto. Like, you can't tell me, like, Giannis is eating jollof rice in Milwaukee. There's no jollof rice in Milwaukee. But there is in Toronto.
It's all over.
Yeah, all over the place. Seriously.
I can't wait. And I believe Giannis is going to be a Raptor one day.
I'm speaking into existence. I'm going full LeVar on that one, man. I need him to be here.
I also need LeVar Ball. Where has he been?
He's still around. He's just like, the media doesn't really pick up his stuff as much.
Is one of them is supposed to be drafted this year.
Yeah, LiAngelo. He already said he wants to be on the Lakers. And the Lakers has said nothing. The Lakers are like, what? We put up with Lonzo because he's good, but like...
Who are you?
Who are you, dog? He was a 3-star recruit. He didn't have any offers other than UCLA, which only offered him because they had Lonzo already.
And if they draft him, they're going to have to, like... You know those security locks you use for your laptop in the library at university? They're going to have to buy so many of those.
Yeah, they're going to find out at the end of the season if he's stolen all the towels.
Exactly. That's not worth the trouble.
Yeah, workplace theft is a serious issue and you should not engage in it.
Unless you make it work.
Yeah, exactly. And he has shown he has not made it work. So.
Not made it work.
Follow Josh on Twitter at not Josh Hart.
That's so me.
It's Hart, like H-A-R-T, not Hart, like what the Raptors lack. All right.
And follow Will. Will's the best, man. I'm so proud of you.
Thank
you. You've known each other a long time. You're doing incredible work. I hope your fans didn't mind me talking like an idiot for an hour a bit.
No, I'm sure they enjoyed it. I'm sure they enjoyed it. And thank you so much for that. It's so heartwarming, Josh.
All right. My best to Harsh and Joe Wolfond.
Yeah, I will. I will see Joe tomorrow, and I will tell
him
you said
hi.
We will always have that really painful game one. Lost against the Bucks when we stood in Raptors Square like idiots. Matthew Dellavedova had more points than Kyle Lowry in that game. God damn it, man.
All right.
Yeah, we could go on forever. All right. Peace out, man.
All right, take care.
The Medicare annual election period deadline is almost here. I'm Meredith Vieira, here with examples of people who started their search for coverage at myhealthpolicy.com. Meet Larry. He likes doing things online, so he started
at myhealthpolicy.com. I took my time and found the coverage I was looking for. And done.
Next is Mary. When she wanted answers, she picked up the phone.
I wanted a local perspective on plans, so I called myhealthpolicy.com and done. Switched to a better plan.
And Michael.
I met with a local licensed insurance agent face-to-face and done.
Go to MyHealthPolicy.com to compare top-rated Medicare Advantage plans in your area, including $0 premium plans, or call 1-800-GO-START. That's 1-800-GO-START. Meredith Vieira is a paid endorser. KF Agency operates MyHealthPolicy.com, not connected with or endorsed by the U.S. government or the federal Medicare program. A licensed insurance agent may call.